You live?
I'm decidedly mid-tech. Not quite low-tech, but definitely not high-tech. Folks, how's this sound? Is it too muddy? Are you having trouble hearing me? Jamal, can you put some more treble on me? Yeah, a little more treble on the mic. How's that? Is that a little sharper? Still a little more? Give me a little more. Kill the bass on me a little bit. How's that? Is that a better sound? Okay, if I start to mumble, please yell at me. That's quite all right. I have a tendency to do that, especially when I'm very serious. Folks, just some housekeeping. There's a restroom over there, and there's two downstairs, a men's and women's room, and a water fountain, and of course there's our lovely collations in the back. Again, my name is Bill Mooney McCoy, and I want to let you know this is going to be a two-part episode. The first part, we're going to be looking at the issue of online safety, particularly for children and teenagers. And so we're focusing on the dangers of the Internet for kids in the city at risk, and what we as parents or guardians or ministry leaders can do to help keep the younger generation safe from things that are just totally age inappropriate. The second half is going to be faith-based, and it's going to have some religious content. It's going to be more about the issues of pornography addiction, media addiction, and adult problems with the same issues. So just to let you know, you're more than welcome to stay for both. If you want to just be there for the first half, that's fine too. We encourage you to stay for both because we've got some great stuff. But we needed to make that announcement in the beginning. If you haven't signed in, please make sure you do so. Where's the sign-in sheet now? Is it out there? Okay. So make sure you get on that. And I think that's all I need to say to introduce things. My name is Bill Mooney McCoy, and I am the director of Safe Families, which is the program that is putting this on. I am a co-pastor of a small house church, the Gathering Christian Fellowship. I'm also a computer programmer by trade. I'm a Dorchester boy. I've been here since 64. And most important qualification for me doing this talk is I'm a parent. I have three children, and so this is not some vague academic issue for me. This is what I need to know, as much as anybody else in this room. To let you know, we've put all that we can into this, because this is not only a workshop for you guys, and you guys are the most important people in the universe, but this is also going to be recorded and eventually put on the web. So you'll be able to, if you fall asleep, if I get very boring, you can feel free to look at the webcast and find out what you missed. We're also looking at making this a national model that we hope to roll out for churches all across the country. So y'all, it's our test drive. And we're going to get the bugs out today. I hope we got most of them out this afternoon. But that's just to let you know why we have put so much effort into this. Because we feel like we're the first folks who really have faced this issue for the urban community. And we really want to give the best we can for it. Tech Mission has a mission to support Christian organizations as they use technology to transform vulnerable communities. Technology for many is a key out of some desperate situations. That's been the case for some of us personally, and we hope to help those who are helping others. So we are an organization that comes alongside the folks who are already doing this. We support folks like the people in this building who use technology to give other people a better life. Oops, that went too far. Sorry about that. Safe Families is a program that has come out of Tech Mission. We have two goals. And the first one I'm focusing on now, which is focusing on protecting children in at-risk communities from pornography and other dangers on the Internet. We're doing it in two different ways. We're providing information, that's now, and we're also distributing software with free Internet filtering, and that's also now because it's in your packet. We also have concerns about adult issues with this, as I mentioned, and that's another part of Safe Families program, which we'll talk about later. Why don't I get a break and let you talk? The Internet. What's so good about it? What can you do on the Internet? And my lovely assistant here is going to help write down whatever you say. So let's get her very busy. What's good about the Internet?
Relatively easy access to a lot of information.
Okay. Easy access to lots of info. What can you do on it? Yes?
Allows you to communicate with across great distances.
Okay. Fast communication, no distance. Distance doesn't matter. Great. What do you do on the Internet?
I
Oh, come on, y'all do this.
Research.
Good, what else?
Shop,
okay. Well, now we're getting real. Let's keep it real, yeah. What else?
Games.
What would the internet be without games?
Email.
Advertising.
Yep, advertising, which for some of us is important.
Read news.
Anything else?
Finance.
Okay, banking and financial management. I think we could probably go on. The point is that there's some very useful things about it. Agreed? But there are concerns and there are dangers, and that's what we're going to talk about next. Let's look at some stats. These are some of the latest stats that we've recently gotten on what's happening online. 90% of kids ages 8 through 16 have looked at pornography, usually unintentionally, and the average age of first exposure, 11. Think about what it was a generation ago and think about that now. The largest consumer of internet porn is the age 12 to 17 group. Even the adult industry says 20 to 30% of their traffic, minors, children. Let's look at the industry. The pornography industry is ridiculously aggressive. I'm going to show you three of their tactics that they use. The first is what we call misleading URLs. URLs is that www dot thing that you type. That's your URL. So two URLs that are very interesting. MartinLutherKing.com, it's a porn site link. So is JesseJackson.com. In my humble opinion, that's not what either leader stood for. But that's what they've done. Obviously, that's intentional deception. There's another thing called chat room bots. And I'm wondering, what in the world is that chat room bot? Well, this is actually a live transcript from a chat room on AOL, America Online. I didn't change anything, I just edited a couple of dirty words. And you'll notice there's somebody called Bree797, and she's a 20-year-old female who has pictures in her profile. And she seems to be kind of stuck on saying that, you notice that? And so eventually CTim1570 says, who is Bree? And Alistark at 01 says, Bree is a bot. Bree is a computer program that is programmed to go into chat rooms and randomly put out messages to suggest to people to go look at the profile where there's a link to a porn site. Does that make you a little mad? Just a little bit? Let's push it a little further. I'm sorry, I went too fast. Spam. We all know what spam is. 2.5 billion a day. And the average person gets 4.5. Spam. This is pornographic spam. Not, you know, the person who's in Africa who needs your money. This is just the porn spam. There's that too. It targets youth. Don't believe me? Check this out. Bob the Builder. How many know about Bob the Builder? Does anybody got little kids? Okay. Very cute little thing. Very innocent. Very wonderful. Here's his website. This is a good thing. Transpose the U and the I, and this is what you get. Do you think this was unintentional? Who are they targeting? Kids who can't spell. Now, I showed this because since this time it's been cleaned up and it no longer shows this, so I didn't want to put any of you at risk, but just want to let you know. This is the kind of thing that the porn industry is doing. And they've done it with many, many different URLs that they know kids are going to look for. There's a thing called age verification. If my daughter, 12-year-old daughter, wants to go to the corner store and ask for a pack of cigarettes, what's going to happen? They're going to ask for ID. If a 15-year-old boy wants to go to the liquor store and get some bourbon, it's not going to happen, right? R-rated movie, at least in theory, one hopes that your young teenagers won't be able to get in without an adult. Can you imagine if a little 4-year-old kid could walk up to a store and ask for cigarettes and say, how old are you? And you say, 18. Okay. But that's what's happening with pornography. Let me show you their sophisticated age verification tools. Here's one. If you're not over 18, what is your option? There's no option given. So do you see a 16-year-old boy being stumped by this? I'm not 18, and if I'm 18, I press continue. I don't know what to do. It's not going to be a problem. Let's see if this one's any better. Click here, if you are 18. Well, here at least is one that has both options, but look which is bigger. Very effective age verification. I'm sure this is working very well. Porn is affecting our youth. I'm going to show you some very strong and powerful quotes that I've come across. This is from the Department of Justice. Never before in the history of telecommunications media in the U.S. has so much indecent and obscene material been so easily accessible by so many minors in so many American homes with so few restrictions. And this one is from Donna Rice Hugh, one of our partners. She says, in a few mouse clicks, kids can be exposed to material that can never be erased from their mind. Their innocence can never be regained. If a young child sees people in the act of sex and doesn't know how to process it, that's a permanent scar. Let me give you some more. From a Kaiser Foundation study of young people, they said, 59% of them said, seeing pornography encourages sex before kids are ready. This is the young folks saying this. But you want hard evidence, we got some. This is a study that was just released this month in Pediatrics Journal. Youth with exposure to sexuality and media were twice as likely to have intercourse between the ages of 14 and 16. So pornography is not just a kind of a bad thing. It's having a real impact on what is happening to our young people. I recently had the dubious privilege of attending a debate between folks from Triple X Church, and I'll talk about them, their wonderful ministry, and Ron Jeremy, who is the number one male porn star, debating the relative merits of pornography. And what was most striking about being there was the adoration that these college kids had for this porn star. Now, you've got to understand, these college kids are barely 18, if that, and they already knew him well. They already had him in the same place that they have movie stars and rock stars. This is this thing called child pornography. And you can see these statistics. 20,000 images each week. 20% of all the porn is child porn. 100,000 illegal sites. And $3 billion. There are now websites that I'm calling pseudo child porn, where they're not showing children who are naked, but in provocative sexy poses in their underwear and other things. And it's legal. It's completely legal, and people are paying to see that. It's hurting our kids. Pornography is not our only problem. Online perpetrators is very serious. I recently saw someone demonstrate this. They were in a chat room, and she pretended to be a 16-year-old woman, 16-year-old bored teenager. Anybody want to talk to me? And instantly she got hundreds of offers from guys. One in five kids has been in a chat room. 20% has been approached by a pedophile. 40% of your abductions for the ages of 15 through 17 from the internet. And you can see that last statistic, how it, many of those cases involved actual illegal sex, statutory rape. Online predators are now talking to each other, teaching each other how to do it better. They're trading secrets, learning tips, and they've also memorized the language of your kids. So they can seem like a 16-year-old boy when they're really a 50-year-old man. And there are other dangers. One of the ones that concerns me is other harmful content. There is some other sexual material that is not necessarily pornography, but maybe sex ed or for married couples, or even fine art that is just, you don't want your kids seeing that. But there's also things like gore. There was a site recently that had soldiers in Iraq posting pictures of mutilated Iraqi soldiers. And they were fully mutilated. It was as disgusting as possible. And this was free, and there was no age restriction to get to see it. There are hate sites. MLK, MartinLutherKing.com is the porn link. MLK.org, a hate site, a white supremacist site. And there's sites about drugs. How to pass your urine test, ways you can get better quality stuff, things about guns, weapons, how to make a bomb, that kind of stuff. We probably don't want our kids there. There's another group of phenomena which are sort of aged. I group them into a thing of chat rooms, instant messaging, and online communities like MySpace or Black Planet. In these, absolutely anything goes. There's nothing to stop, you know, Joe teenager from putting up a dirty picture or calling someone a dirty name or anything like that. There's nothing to stop it. Letting your kid in a chat room is kind of like letting your teenager roam free in a bar. It's just a very dangerous place for some of those kids. And finally, there's this thing called peer-to-peer. File transferring, things like Kazaa and LimeWire. Napster used to be the big one. Three I's. Illegal. Most of the material there is being traded illegally. Indecent. That's the predominant place where child porn is being done. And then infectious. It's a great place to get viruses for your computer. So these are places that are really pretty dangerous for your kids to be. I hope that I've gotten you a little concerned. Here's the good news. Today we want to get you upset, but we also want to empower you. We want you to come away from here feeling like, well, I know what to do, or I know how to begin. We don't want to just give you bad news. We want to give you some real tools. So I'm going to go over these six steps in just a sec. Starting first with the internet filtering device. And I need you to get ready to help me switch in a sec. Internet filters are just like filters are in English. They're something that controls what gets there. They're little programs that can say, no, you can't look at this. Yes, you can look at this. Oh, you can't, but you can. And they're very good for protecting kids. They're lousy for adults because adults, of course, know how to control them. We have several options. And our first option, you actually have in your hand. We have a program called WeBlocker that we've co-branded, and we are making that available for the low cost of zero. It is free. We want everybody to have access to it. Robert, why don't you help me switch?
I'm going to listen.
Okay. Not the sound. Just the monitor.
Just the video?
Just the video. Hold on, folks. We do need to switch computers just very quickly on this. Make sure you don't connect the next one. Oh. So in your packet, you should see this. This is our free software CD. It's got lots of cool stuff. But one of the coolest things it has is this program called WeBlocker. And I'm going to show you how to install it, how to use it, and what it can do for you. And if you forget, don't worry, there's instructions. And you can always look at the webcast and see it. Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to put it in. I'm going to duck. Is this okay, Jamal, or do I need to get back there? Okay. You don't need to see me, you need to see what I'm doing.
It may be trying to close itself. Just don't hit anything. Don't hit that.
Sorry.
Leave that window open and then you should be able to install.
Okay. So I put the CD in and I'm just waiting for it to do something. And it's getting ready to do something. Can you all hear me, by the way? I'm sorry, I'm off mic. Do I need to get the mic over here? So two things happen. A browser window opens. And for now, we don't want that. So I'm going to close this window. I'm going to say no. And I'm going to close this window. But the second thing that will happen, thanks Andrew, is a pop-up window. And it's going to say click here to get a free registration key. So I'm going to click here. Thanks, dude. So I'm going to click this link, which is our link. And if the wireless is in a good mood, I'll be all set. Come on, baby, you can do it.
Is there a proxy server? What's it is?
Folks, we're getting the bugs out. Be patient with us. This is called learning. Rule number one, always work for a boss who's smarter than you. All right, and on here it says, get your free registration code by filling out the form. And this form is very complicated. You go where it says enter email address, and you enter your email address. And there's a registration number. Folks, would you please memorize that number for me? Everybody got it? Okay. Just in case I forget. So now I'm going to put it here. Let's see. Where was that window? Right there. And that was again?
4728.
Oh, you're good. And I'm going to hit next. Now, if you have Windows XP, first, by the way, you need to close your browser again. So I'm closing these browsers, these Internet Explorers. Please close. Thank you. If you have Windows XP, there's a special thing that you may have to do. I'm not going to go over it, but the instructions are pretty good. So you'll have to do that. Now it's asking, should I start to set up? And the answer is yes. And I'm done. And there's our logo, so that tells you that WeBlocker is starting. And if you look now at your what's called the sys tray, which is this little area here, you see that little logo? That tells me that I'm in WeBlocker. So now it's time to set up. Looks like somebody had already installed WeBlocker on this, so unfortunately...
Well, what, do you know the password you want to enter real quick?
The usual?
No. No, it's something different.
Thanks, man. Now, I need to apologize. We had forgotten to take it off of here, so I just actually reinstalled it, so I can't show you how it looks like in the beginning. So I apologize for that. But there's two things that it does in the beginning that are extremely important. One, it's going to ask you for a password. This is the password that you can remember so little Johnny can't come and disable it. So it's very important that you have a password that he won't know, that you won't forget. The second thing it's going to ask you is a question in case you do forget. And so this is something that it's going to ask you in case you can't remember your password. Now, you should not put the name of your street because little Johnny knows the name of your street. You shouldn't put your middle name because probably he knows that as well. So it should be something dreadfully obscure like the name of your sixth grade teacher or something that he's just not going to know. But you're not going to forget. Don't make it ambivalent like the name of your favorite song. Those things change.
You got to edit user to get to.
So let me get to edit user and I'm going to actually add a new user. Here's the place where you get to put that information. And let me stop right now and say all cell phones and beepers and other noisy devices, please turn off. And this is going to beep at 8:30, so would someone take this and hide this somewhere? It's on automatic. Okay, so here's where I would enter the password, and I'd have to enter it twice. And here's a place where I could put in a secret question. I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure it's very true. So this is whoever put this in doesn't think they'll ever forget this answer. And here you have the options of what kinds of things I want this person to use. And I also have the option of what's called blocking bad words. And this will actually slow things down just a little bit, but it'll take phrases, particularly for adult groupings, and block them. So certain keywords that are, generally speaking, not good, you will block them. You also have lots of age options, as you notice. So you can select that as well. And one more capacity is to log activity. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But logging activity is keeping track of what's being done so that you can later check it out. I'm going to say OK. And don't forget to write the password. I didn't. Let's see if I can get out of this. Oh, I lost it. I may have to ask you to do that again because I want to add a user. Nope, there it is. Beautiful. So let's add little Jimmy. Now, little Jimmy, I'm going to use the same I'm going to use a different password. Remind me to get this off for you. And little Jimmy is in second grade. I said second grade. Thank you. And there's nothing here I want little Jimmy to see that I can think of. Yeah, I don't think so. He doesn't need to know this. If he does a product on swords, we'll take care of it. And I'm going to log because I want to see what little Jimmy has been doing. And I also want to make sure I see his bad words. So I'm going to save this and close. And then now if you look here at this little icon, and if I right click it, I can change the user that I am. So now I could be little Jimmy. Which means from now on, anything I do in this computer will have those restrictions that I just put on little Jimmy. When little Jimmy has gone to bed, I can now be me. And I can put it back on me. It's a pretty simple program and it works pretty well. But again, I want to stress, put in a good password. And don't forget your question. Otherwise, you can't get it off. Watch the water. It asks you for a question and then you have to put it in. If you forget your password, there's a thing of I forgot my password and then it'll ask you a question.
All right.
You kind of hope never to have to know it because then you're 50% toward disaster. So that's our first option. Are we back in here? We are. All right.
If you lose them both, you can never uninstall.
You basically need to wipe your computer. Or you have WeBlocker for life. By the way, the one thing bad about WeBlocker is it's not available for Macintoshes. Sorry. But it is free, and it covers the most basic things. It doesn't touch things like email and instant messaging and some of the other concerns I had. But it's a pretty good program if you really have nothing else. It is definitely better than nothing, and it does work pretty well. And some people think that's all they need. But we don't think that's all you necessarily want, so we're going to give you some more options. Is that okay? So if you happen to have a big program like AOL or MSN or Earthlink and you're on dial-up, that's the thing where you can't talk on the phone and be online at the same time, then here's another option you have. All of those programs have free internet parental controls. It's free. It's built into the software. You don't have to buy it. Different levels for each screen name. So if you have five people in your family, all different ages, you can set things for each person, different age groups. Some of the controls can be a little restrictive, and it's not quite as effective as some of the other products, but it is free. It's the best thing if you have children and you have a dial-up. I think I might skip the demo given the time, or half an hour. America Online is very good at showing you how to do that, and I suspect Earthlink and MSN would have customer support if you're not sure how to do it, but it's not hard. But there's a third option, and this is commercial internet filtering. You're going to have to reach into your wallet to get this. And often it features some other things that the WeBlocker doesn't. Costs range from anywhere from 30 to 70, and some of them have annual fees. And the one drawback is that you have to put it on each computer. But it's the most effective means of protecting kids. So here's kind of a summary of what we found. We looked on the web and found all of the best surveys that we could find. And we looked in and sort of averaged them all out, and this is the conclusion we've reached. These are the products. And by the way, this is in page 8 of your wonderful, wonderful manual, right here. And on page 8, the same chart is there, so you don't have to worry about copying this down real quick. And it's also downloadable on the web. And you'll notice the cost varies from $30 to $70 a year, or $70. Time Manager is a tool that will say, little Johnny cannot be in the computer after 11 o'clock. And not so little Jenny can't be after midnight. And on weekends, you can change it and you can adjust it. Macintosh means that it's available for the Macintosh, and as you can see, most products are not. Whether it filters email, instant messaging or chat, or peer-to-peer, that's indicated. And keyword blocking, again, is so that you can type in certain objectionable phrases as no-nos. And it will say, okay, because you use those words, this website, I can't go there. It's very interesting. Some of our websites, because we talk a lot about pornography, WeBlocker blocks them. That's keywords. And also, I think on our webpage, we have links to where you can buy these products. Still another option is what we call a pre-filtered ISP. An ISP is the organization that provides internet service, whether it's America Online or Verizon or whoever. But there are some that all they provide are filtered websites. You can't even get to the bad websites because they don't even bring it to your house. They can be very effective, especially if you as an adult would like a little help. They can sometimes block legitimate content, and that can be a real problem. There's some false positives. But in summary, they're good for protecting children and somewhat helpful for adults. Let me show you a few of them. These are three of the products that we know about. I particularly love the logo of Surf on the Safe Side. See the sludge trying to get in through the computer and it's being blocked out. It's kind of cool. The prices are, they range, and there's a lot of other products out there too. So this could be how you connect to the internet, if you'd prefer, particularly by dial-up. But one more option. Plus, if you act now. And this is a filtering router, and you're wondering, what in the world is a filtering router? Let's bring a few in here. Thank you. These are pieces of hardware. They're actually boxes. And they effectively filter all the computers in your house. Not just one computer at a time, but if you have two or three laptops, and Junior has a computer, and there's one down, they're all filtered. And they're a little bit hard to disable. And unfortunately, they're also a little hard to set up. So you kind of have to know what you're doing. And they also require that you have broadband. You can't use dial-up with these guys. But in summary, these can also be a good option. If you feel like you have a little tech ability, give it a shot and see if it works for you. On our website, we have indications of where you can get these products. And that's on page 9 in your manual. So to summarize, depending on the type of internet service you have, whether you have a major dial-up, less robust dial-up, or broadband, and depending on who you're protecting, whether you're protecting kids or adults, here's your choices. We've got one that's free, and I'm going to talk about X3 Watch in the second half of our broadcast. The second is a paid recommended option, and these are the ones that we're recommending, or an advanced one if you feel like you really have your knowledge together and you feel like you can go ahead for this. So these are some of the options. And again, this chart is on page 9. So that's internet filtering. But internet filtering is just not enough. This is not something you can put in and say, okay, I'm good. This is unfortunately step 1 of 5. So let me share with you a couple more. Where you put the computer. Now, this is probably the easiest thing I can show you. Put it in a high-traffic room. Not in some obscure corner somewhere. Screen has to be very easily visible when you pass by. Not facing a wall where, you can huddle over it and kind of hide it. And let me tell you, laptops for children and teens, that's very high risk. That's kind of the equivalent of a loaded gun. It's just really dangerous because you just don't know where they're going to take it, what they're going to do with it. So this is an easy fix. You can do this. Third one is to get what we call a family pledge. And this is basically something that you can download from our website, and it's also in our manual. I believe it's page 6, am I right? Page 4. No, I'm sorry, my fault. Page 6, I was right the first time. Feel free to modify it as you need to. It's an agreement between children and parents on how I'm going to use the computer. We recommend that you talk through the points with your children and get agreement from them, and that you post it by the computer. And it needs to be signed by the children and your family. I'm very convicted because this is something I've been meaning to do and I haven't done it yet, so now I'm on record saying I'm going to do it. Here's what ours looks like. And again, we give you the permission to sort of modify that as you see appropriate. But we have things like, I won't look at anything that's inappropriate. It's page 6 in your manual if you don't have x-ray vision. I won't give my personal information to anybody. I won't meet anybody in person. I'll always be courteous. I won't purchase things without mommy and daddy's permission. Where'd that come from? I will not respond to emails or instant messages from somebody I don't know. I'll do what my parents say about when I can use it and what I can do on it, what games, etc. If I'm under 16, we recommend that they not use chat rooms. That's our recommendation. Under 16, we just feel like it's not an appropriate place for children. And only use instant message with those I know and that my parents approve of. I will not install programs without permission. I won't use it to do anything illegal, including downloading. And these rules apply whether I'm at home or at a friend's house or at the library or at school. And finally, I understand that if I violate these rules, there may be consequences. So these are what we recommend as part of the Safe Family Pledge. Step 4 is to monitor, train, and direct your children's activity. And this can be a lot of fun. We recommend that you once in a while just sit down with your kid and say, so, what do you do? Where are you going? What are you into? Who are you talking to? Who are the folks that you're IMing? What are you using this for? Not so much in a punitive or suspicious manner, but just as a way to connect. So we recommend you do that. And we recommend that you also take that chance to introduce them to cool stuff. And I'd like to introduce you to something I find kind of cool. Is our audio ready? Please forgive this buzz. And hopefully this will work. Oops, it didn't. My fault. There we go. Hold your breath. I'm going to get this to work somehow. Oh, my fault. I know what I did wrong. I'm not used to this double monitor thing. That'll work. Which one do you want to find out about first? Number one, okay. She sounded like a very nice, wonderful person.
Try again.
Oh, not so nice. Let's try two.
Oh, try again.
Well, let's try three.
Sorry. Hey, they're all wiggly. Yuck. That's right. On the web, you never know. There is no way to tell who it is you're really talking to. They can say that they are a 12-year-old girl. It could be a wiggly wing. That's right. It could really be a nice person. And, but they could be a guy. And really old, too. You know, when they're 5 years old.
Wasn't that fun? That's a very cool website called netsmarts.org. We love them. They're brilliant. They've got wonderful things for younger kids, elementary school age kids. I'm going to mention them a little bit later. And that's a great site for teaching your kids about online safety and the importance of really being careful who you talk to. Yes?
And are all the sites that you made mentioned throughout the presentation, are they in this packet?
Just, yes, they are. I believe everything I've mentioned is in here. If not, we'll catch it. So those are some positive things you can do. You can also change their homepage. This is something that we recommend. They're what are called child-friendly search engines. You're all familiar with Google and Yahoo. Well, there are equivalents for children. And so what you can do is on your computer, you can have when little Jimmy logs in and goes to the internet, that's where it starts. And we can give you a demonstration of how to do that a little another time. But these are search engines that won't bring up the sites that you don't want little Jimmy to find when he types in certain words.
So this,
and it's, yeah, we have a, oh, that's right, we do have a handout on that. Can somebody show that? I'll hold it up. I don't see where my handout box went.
Just a one page of your paper on the handout. There we go.
Okay. All right, so we're handing them out right now. Unfortunately, we also need to be a little bit more devious. And so we need to monitor our kids' activity by surveillance. And we do that in three ways. By reviewing history, by checking the log filters, and by looking at recent documents. I'm going to go over this a little bit quickly. Here's an internet browser. This is our old Safe Families webpage. And there's a little button up at the top that looks like that. It's called the history button. If by any chance you can't find it, pressing Control H will do the same thing. When you press that button, it opens up another screen. And you'll see some days. You can barely see that, I'm sorry. It says last week, Monday, Tuesday, and today, I believe it says. So I did this yesterday or something like that. And if I'm going to click on the today right here, if I click on that, that'll open a button. And that will tell me what websites were looked at today. And so I kind of go down here, and as I go down, I see, okay, Google, Google, and I see Google Images Google. Well, that could be trouble. There are all kinds of things on Google Images files. So I open that up, and I look to see what they are. Oh, God, wonderful. They're looking for pictures of rainbow, the state of Minnesota, and mountain lions. Of course, my kids would never look at anything bad. So at least this way I can see where they've been. Now, of course, when you finish, you want to press that button again so that your kids won't know you're doing that. So you press the button and this window will go away. Here's the catch. Your kids may already know how to do that. And if they know how to do that, they also know how to erase it. So we have to take it up a notch. If you have a web filter like WeBlocker or some of the others, they keep track of what websites are being looked at as well. They keep a log. And this is what little Johnny or even not so little Jenny can't get to. I notice this is a log, and notice here there's one of those words, and it was concerned. It didn't block it, but it kind of flagged it. Well, this happens to be a Christian marriage website. So that's probably okay, and it probably wasn't little Jimmy looking at it. At least, we hope not. But then we go down a little further, and ooh, that's not good. Most of you probably know WhiteHouse.com used to be one of the most infamous porn sites. By the way, it no longer is. That's why I felt very comfortable looking at it. It's now just a dead end. But WeBlocker doesn't know that yet, apparently, and so it flags it as a concern, or at least it thinks the intentionality was there. So you'll notice it had a yes there, meaning we stopped him. And little Johnny maybe didn't mention, oh, I accidentally went, but WeBlocker got it for you. And we would have a conversation. Finally, we need to check objectionable material that may come from other sources. It can come from friends, email, or spammers. It can come from file sharing programs like Kazaa, LimeWire, BearShare. And it also can come from portable devices like CDs and DVDs, jump drives and cameras. And so what you'll do here is you go to your regular Windows menu, I'm sorry, your desktop. See the little start button right here? You press it, and out pops a window. And then we move our little cursor all the way up and over to recent documents. And that opens another window. And then as we look at recent documents, let me make that a little bigger, thank you. We kind of scroll down and we look at all the documents that were recently opened and we see, you know, a couple Word files, some PowerPoint files, and uh-oh, that can't be good. So we can see that recently somebody looked at a picture file called Naughty Nurses. Now relax, I just made that name up, it was nothing. But that's something you would want to check. So you could see, if you saw something that you didn't recognize that, and it had a name that kind of, what was the concern? You could find out, and you could actually see what Johnny had been looking at, or trying to look at. And again, have a very interesting conversation. So this is what we call surveillance. This is how you monitor your children. But that's not enough. So step five is to educate yourself around issues of online safety. Get smart. One of the easiest ways to do that is to check our website. We have worked very hard to give you the very, very best of online safety information that we could possibly find. Is the browser coming up yet?
Goodness.
All right. Yes, it's coming. Hang on. Oh, it's back. Is it back there? There you go. Thank you. Hang on, folks. It's coming. So when it comes up, I'm going to show you we have some pages just for parents. And basically, it's a replication of everything I've shared with you tonight. So again, if you forget something or didn't quite get it, it's okay. We got you covered. So here you see our parents' pages. And we've got, soon will be this. Now we can't put it on there because I'm not done yet. And the time machine isn't working. But we also have steps for parents. You just saw them. Those five steps are on here as well. We've got a sample of the Family Pledge, which you can download and modify. We've got some of the software tools that we've mentioned, particularly WeBlocker. We also have recovery resources, and this would be something if you know someone who's struggling with sex addiction or porn addiction or other media addiction. We have lots of tools on how to help that person. We'd love you to try to use those to see if they could be of service to you. This thing is online, so you're free to download it. And finally, the free software that I mentioned. We have the WeBlocker is available here for free and some other software. We also have some wonderful resources, some links that I'm going to show you. Some resources I'm going to show you. And I've got to get used to using this side of the... One thing that's very cool that Robert just put on, Robert just joined our staff and has done something extremely cool. Every day we get live news feeds of what's happening in these areas. This changes every day, I believe. And so, if you want to know what the latest and greatest is, let's find out. So you see all of these headlines coming out, and part of my job in theory is to read and memorize every one of them. So there's news about these subjects. I was really thrilled to see that they put NetFamily on here. That's my favorite newsletter. It's a very excellent newsletter on what's happening. It's kept me current. And even some things about recovery. So that's one thing we have for you. We have articles. Oh, have we got articles? Feel like reading? We got articles. This one here was an excellent article in the Boston Globe about what's happening with young boys online. And here's some things for parents that are very useful. As you can see, there's some wonderful things here. I'm going to talk about Perry Aftab, who's one of the most brilliant people I know in this industry. You have her addressing issues like MySpace and other things that you may have heard about. She has a whole article about that. We also have, let me get over here, for those who want to read a little bit more, books. Lots and lots of books. I'm a teacher, I like visual aids. So I brought three of them. Parents' Guide to Protecting Your Children in Cyberspace. This is written by Perry Aftab, who's a lawyer. who's been just very helpful to me in terms of learning things about this. It's an excellent book. Just if you want more information than I've given you, here you go. If that's not enough, Donna Rice Hughes, who I quoted earlier, has also written a book, Kids Online. This is an excellent read. Again, if you want to learn more about this issue. And here's one that raises a little bit of eyebrows. Smut. And this is basically a former person who used to be involved in the sex industry saying, this has gone too far. He's got a young child and he's feeling the same pressure that we feel, like, this is not what I want for my child to be raised in. And so he really is pushing for against a PG-13 rated society. Why should little kids see provocative billboards? Why should they see that? Why should they see magazine titles in the supermarket that use words that you don't want to explain to them? Why should that be true? That's what he's asking. And so this is a really challenging book. If you're tired of books, we have media. Did I miss?
There he goes.
Bless you. Let's see if I have what I need. For those of you who like research, we have links to lots of reports that have been done by different organizations. This is one done by a group called The Third Way. We've got about 6 or 7 of these reports. These are things that have come before congressional committees and stuff like that. So if you really want the scholarly side of it, we've got links for that for you. If you'd like something a little easier on the eye, we've got slideshows and presentations that you can link to. And we've got recommendations of videos. I have to say, this one I've seen, this is a video that was done by a 14-year-old boy. He produced it, organized it, starred in it, wrote it, got his principal to play the perpetrator, which is way cool, used the school as the place where they filmed it, got the police department to volunteer to act in it, and it's just a really brilliant little short that shows how somebody who thought he was going to meet a 13-year-old blonde, beautiful girl almost, well, I'll let you see it. It's just brilliant. So go check it. And was there anything else I want to mention? We also have, finally, links. I got more links than a golf course. I mentioned NetSmarts. And that's the one we put first. That's the one I just showed you with, oh, by the way, a WYSIWYG. That stands for what you see is what you get. Those are bad guys. That's their word for bad guys. They have a very wonderful things for ages little to middle school. This is Donna Rice Hughes' website. This is Perry Aftab's website. They're excellent for more information. And last one I want to mention is GetNetWise. If you don't think we were helpful enough with software selection, go there. They have got dozens of products. So feel free to use that as well. So those are some of the things that we offer on a little teeny website. And the very cool thing is, on your CD, is a replication of the website. So if you're not online, you can still look at this stuff. Except for the external links, of course, because we don't own those. So you can feel free to do that. Let me get off here. Lastly, continue to use our CD. I just mentioned that. So all the material that I shared with you today is not only in your manual, not only on our website, not only going to be on the webcast, but it's also in the CD. So we catch you coming, going, and in between. And there's some of the documents here, like I said, that you can feel free to edit, that family pledge and some other documents that you can feel free to adapt according to your need and copy freely. Okay, where'd my mouse go? Thank you. Last step, lead by example. We're using the phrase secondhand smut. You remember secondhand smoking? Now nobody would think of smoking with a baby in their hand. Well, not most people. They wouldn't think of smoking if you, without asking you, is it okay if I smoke? Well, we've done the same thing with sexy media. Our children are watching and they're learning from us. Think about how you might have been first exposed to pornography. Lots of the folks that I know, the first chance was they saw it in their daddy's closet. It sends a message and it excites curiosity. And let me just show you something from a friend of mine. This is Pete the Porno Puppet. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me do that again. I got to go back. My fault. Are you ready now, Jay? Okay. This is Pete the porno puppet. I didn't make this up. Whoever thought we'd see something like that. I hope that made you a little uncomfortable, but on the other hand, it's got a very strong message. Kids are watching, and we don't want to lead them. It's really important that we make sure we're not exposing them to stuff. So, do you protect your kids from being exposed to these kind of media that are inappropriate? What radio station do you listen to, and what songs they play there? I showed you how to find history. Well, there's a good chance your kids know how to find your history. Magazines and books can also be a trigger, and even materials at school, libraries, and friends can be inappropriate. How would you feel if you didn't lock a loaded gun? That would just be so inappropriate. Well, it's the same kind of thing. And also, how would you feel if your neighbor's house had all this material and your kid loved to go over there and play with your friends? So let's, be really aware that we don't want to be responsible for making things harder for our kids. Do us the favor of sending this talk to others. Pass this workshop along to anybody you think could use it. Here's the link, and I believe it's also somewhere in the manual. It'll be online in about a week or two. And at this point, we're done, unless there's some questions. Yeah, hang on.
How is instant messaging filtered?
Andrew, do you know how they do that?
Typically, instant messaging is blocked. So the whole instant messaging is blocked. You can't have things that will search by keyword, but for the most part, it's blocked where the most common block is only allowing people to instant message with people that they know. So you have a pre-approved list.
So you can set your kids' list of people like an IM or a brand.
That's a good question. Jamal?
So that only works with AOL. You can block that. If they pull up a third AIM. Party, like Trillium, they can change that list. So you probably just want to block it altogether.
Or really talk a lot with your kids. And
there's a question in the back.
Yeah. Question?
Yes. So this is about MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that not only can it be sort of a bad place for kids to go, but that this is for older teens that might be looking for jobs and things like that.
Right.
I heard that the prospective employers can actually look on
right.
there and find out things about
mm-hmm.
the child, and then that can just follow them for years.
That's a very good point. Once you put something on the internet, you're not getting it back. So it may have seemed like a good idea at the time with your 13-year-old lack of self-control, but when you're 23 and that shows up, that can be very embarrassing. Or even if you do that when you're 20 and you're now trying to apply for law school, that may not be a good thing. And so it would be very important to... We suggest, actually, I've heard it suggested that you go on MySpace and see if your kid's there. Because they may not want to tell you that. It's really funny that they'll put these very intimate, personal things on there and then think, Mommy and Daddy will never find out. All right, we're going to take a break.
Hold on just real quick. Didn't you have a question about... He was asking me before about spyware. So if anyone's had things that... Sometimes, a website, it'll install software on your computer without you even asking. So if you get spyware installed on your computer, one thing that I'm just going to add is, don't we have Adaware in there, Jamal? There's a link to Adaware, yeah. Okay.
Oh, excellent.
So there's some software that's called Adaware that will delete that stuff off your computer. It's called Adaware, it's on the CD. There's a link to Adaware on the CD. The name of it is Adaware, and it'll help. If you get things installed on your computer and you need to get them off, it'll help take those off.
Very cool. We'll take a 15-second break. Do I need to shut the recorder off?
Why don't we take a 2 or 3 minute break if people need to go to the bathroom or get some more food?